I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the Muslim Lady. This is your host, Zainab. And in this program, we discuss about the issues related to Muslim women. Well, in the previous episode, we discussed a very least spoken topic, miscarriage. And we had Sadiqa, and today also I had this pleasure to sit with Sadiqa in the studio, who is a specialist in the field of jurisprudence. Today also we had this pleasure to invite her. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me over.
Thank you so much, Sadiqa, for being with us again. And we were talking about Muslim women suffering through a miscarriage and how different societies behave with the women and how Islam treats miscarriage. Well, I think there's one point I wanted to tell you about miscarriages, which is pending in the last session. I could not discuss that with you. Since I come from the Indian culture, my sister suffered from the miscarriage. And when I was studying jurisprudence over here, I went through the fact that this child, the residue of this child, it needs to be shrouded and it needs to be buried. And I was very amazed to hear about this ruling. And then I just called back my sister and I told her, did you receive the residue of the child? Because I have never heard something like that happening in our culture. She said, no, I never received that. Then, confirming from different societies what happens to this residue in our cultures. Unfortunately, I heard a very, very strange answer was that the hospital takes this residue and puts it into the dustbin. I was really amazed over that. Since you're a jurisprudence student too, I would want to know from you, how does Islam take this residue as well? I mean, what does Islam say about that? A child who is unborn and now it's just a blood and clot and something, that it's not a full body. But still, Islam has some respect for this. I mean, that's what I got to know. I would want to know more from you.
So when we look at the concept of this child, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humans, right? When he blew his spirit, according to the Quran.
Yeah.
He says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ
الْخَالِقِينَ.
Praise be to the best of creators.
Best of the creators.
So the human being is created as the most perfect being. Even that child who's miscarried. And when it comes to this ruling that you mentioned, it's generally more employed after the fourth month has set in.
Yes.
Where the soul has entered.
Enter.
Now this child is now seen as a human being with its own rights.
Yeah.
Right? So given that this child has a soul, he comes under the person who is given the opportunity to become the perfect being. And therefore, if this child dies, it is given the utmost respect, just like any other person would be given. When a normal person dies, when a normal human being dies, they go through the process of shrouding and being buried. And even during the process of shrouding and washing the body, they're given utmost respect. Like you cannot look at them, you cannot talk negative about what you saw when you were shrouding the body. And and the same concept applies to the child as well, because that child is the perfect being. It has the potential to have become the perfect being had they come into this world.
Yeah.
So yes, as I said, even that child has its own rights. And we see this throughout jurisprudence, right? When you look at even the subject of inheritance, if a mother is pregnant with a child and the husband dies, the child who's not yet come into this world is given its inheritance when they come into this world.
Wow.
So that inheritance is supposed to be kept aside in case that child completes its pregnancy term and comes into this world.
All right.
So that child is seen as a being who has its own rights, its own respect, and should be treated with the normal respect.
Yeah.
Now when it comes to what to do with the residue, in very early pregnancies, because it's a clot of blood, many women would not realize that it comes out from the body.
They have gone through miscarriage,
Most after the fourth month, the child is has its own form.
Yeah.
So when the child is taken out from the womb, some hospitals on request would give that body for the parents to go through and bury.
Yeah.
But in some cultures, yes, they just discard it because they don't see it as a person who has its own rights. Yeah. And rather, in some of these cultures, they don't even respect normal human beings, let alone a miscarried child. So again, it comes down to how we treat each other as human beings.
All right, we'll continue this discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
You described that so amazingly, so beautifully, like a child and even an unborn child has rights in Islam. Definitely human lives have human rights. And however, whenever a woman suffers through miscarriage, we discussed all that in the previous session, that how a woman is blamed that she might have gone wrong. It was the child was unborn in her womb. Rather than saying this, we as Muslims should always remember, he who relieves the hardship of a believer in this world, Allah will relieve his hardship on the day of judgment. He who makes easy what is difficult, Allah will make it easy for him in the world and the hereafter. He who conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in the world and the hereafter. For Allah helps the servant as long as he helps his brother or sister. And that's something we have really forgotten, because we are more into blaming, more into pointing fingers towards others. Well, anyways, let's come up with another topic now. After miscarriages, now since it was something related to the pregnancy, now since a woman has a child, what does it take and what does it give?
First, let us appreciate the fact that the best and the greatest influence in every child's life is his or her mother.
Yeah.
The first influencer, right? We have the concept of influencers and on Instagram. Well, the first influencer is the mother.
Yeah.
And the role she plays in a child's life shapes who they become in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Islam appreciates this fact that the child's first university, not school, university begins in the mother's laps. They learn courage. They learn generosity. They learn kindness,
mercy.
Even in Arabic, the term for womb is rahim, which means the place of mercy.
Place of mercy, wow.
So that mercy, everything that, you know, in jurisprudence, we discuss these issues as well a lot. Many years back, at least during the time of the Prophet, children would be given to wet nurses to nurse them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole series of conditions of a wet nurse, who she should be, and what her characteristics should be so that the child would develop into a perfect human being.
Yeah.
Because even the mother's milk is important, has a role to play. So yes, the first and foremost person the child looks up to is the mother.
Okay. Well, you said, you know, when a woman is breastfeeding a child, it has a role to play. And before breastfeeding, when the pregnancy phase comes, you said everything has its own impact. Like, if you're recommended in Islam, like if you're a woman and if you're pregnant, go for ablution most of the times, like stay in ablution all the time. What kind of impact does it have?
You see, the mother, because the child is taking from her meat and her blood, from her flesh and her blood rather, because the child is constantly feeding from the mother, the more she stays in a state of purity, the more effect it has on the child.
Yeah.
Because Islam looks at a human being as a soul and a body.
Yeah.
Again, there's a whole concept of what the body truly is, right? We are initially a soul first.
Yeah.
Right? So because the child is constantly feeding from the mother, mm-hmm. if the mother's state is in a state of purity, that has a great impact into what the child becomes because they're feeding off her.
Yeah. I have heard about this Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, that once it was researched about his mother and it was found that she had never fed his child without ablution, and we had seen such a great leader coming up. So it definitely has impact. And we have heard in so many recommendations, like do qira'at, to recite more and more Quran when you're pregnant. And even if you're praying in congregation, if you're doing jamaat prayers, in jamaat prayers, we have one of the rulings, since you're from jurisprudence field, we have one of the rulings that if the imam is reciting azan and iqamah, you don't need to recite it again. But if you are a pregnant woman, it is recommended that you recite it again. So yes, definitely it does have impact. I would like to add one of the things that, you know, when we say you need to be in ablution, you need to be reciting Quran when you're pregnant, you need to be doing a lot of recommended acts. I have read this very beautiful statement somewhere in the Islamic teachings. It was that a child who is grown up hearing Quran, his meat and blood is made while he in the purity, as you mentioned, in the state of purity. He's grown up hearing Quran. Hell becomes haram for him.
When we are looking at a mother as well, we are told that even when you're going through the process of spouse selection,
yeah,
look for a woman who you would like your progeny to be in there, in yeah. her wombs. Because a woman who is courageous, mm-hmm. who is merciful, is going to put those same attributes into her child.
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot in our historical narrations as well.
Yeah.
You know, when Imam Ali alayhi salam, after his wife Hazrat Fatima wanted to get married, he told his brother Aqil, find me a wife who's courageous.
Yes.
And Aqil introduced him to another woman whose name also was Fatima, but okay. she later became known as Umm al-Banin. And she came from a very courageous tribe.
Yeah.
She herself was a very pious woman, very faithful to the Ahlul Bayt. And from her, we had four sons, the most famous of them, Abbas, who was known for his bravery and
courage.
Chivalry.
And the process goes back to selection
his
of
mother.
A partner. Yeah.
His mother was a courageous, faithful woman.
Yeah.
And that had such a great impact that today Hazrat Abbas is known as one of the most
courageous.
Important figures within the whole story of Karbala.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much, Sadiqa, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to the program, The Muslim Lady. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illa Allah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar.
أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.